Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Wonderful story. I've referenced it a few times in a few messages. But here we are. Please stand if you would, out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are able. Beginning in verse 20, here of 1 Kings 18. I'm going to read. You just take some time to look through the word of God here as I read to you. This story, what a wonderful story. about the children of God and the man of God and against the enemies of God. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I want you to remember that phrase. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered finally and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner, their manner with knives and lancelets, until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God the Lord, He is the God. Thank you for enduring the story, and I do hope it's a story you enjoy. It's one that I enjoy. I did not read for you the exciting part of verse 40, how the prophets, well, they got taken care of, and if you will. But this characteristic that we're going to talk about tonight is that of being decisive. Decisive. Making a decision. Or if you will, having the power or quality of determining a question, a doubt, or any subject of deliberation. Final, conclusive, putting an end to any controversy. if you look at our story that we read about Elijah and the people and the prophets of Baal and Ahab and Jezebel, this particular time in history, I love how he said that they were, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Can I tell you that is indecisive? That is indecisive. And he's basically asking God's people, he said, how long are you going to stay indecisive? And can I ask you, I wonder how much God asked that question today of Christians and believers all around the world in 2021. How long halt ye between two opinions? And guess what? Just like in verse 21, after the man of God asked this question, the people answered him not a word. They didn't answer. And then after he explained the rules of the contest, they said, it is well spoken. Ooh, big answer there. And then this miraculous thing transpires. The 450 prophets of Baal, blood, in one of the verses, did you notice what he said? The blood gushed out upon them. Yeah, this is my kind of story. Okay? Yeah. Listen, that's amazing. And they leapt upon the altar and Elijah's sitting back there with a big glass of sweet tea saying, hey, maybe he's on a journey. Yell louder. He can't hear you. You know, I can just imagine myself doing that. But you know, yeah, just, but the people are watching this completely silent, completely indecisive. Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord according to the word of the Lord and does things according to the word of the Lord. Still no answer from the people. Fire from heaven falls, which had to be just an astounding sight. And just the experience of it. He told the people to come near. And so they had to be close. And I'm imagining they could feel the heat. Brother Burkett and I were talking about getting a little singed with the grills. I mean, make sure I'm careful with that word. Grills, G-R-I-L-L-S. And getting your hair singed. And isn't there, there's no other smell like that of burning human hair, okay? It's not really a great smell. But, you understand. But I can imagine the people close enough. And listen, if this fire is going to consume animal flesh, rocks, wood, water, okay, I mean, come on. That's going to be hot. All right? And if they're close enough to hear and to see, there's probably some singeing going on. But it took all of that for them finally to decide something. Something. And you know what? You really take note to words in the Bible. Really, you should. They said, the Lord, He is the God. Now in my book, that still wasn't good enough. Why didn't they say the Lord, He is our God? Why didn't they take possession of Him? Like they should have. After seeing that, I'm like, I'm with Him. Hey, that's my God. Right? I don't want to want anybody messing with me. I want to take possession of that God because I'm telling you that that's important. But so I don't know that they were totally convinced, but they did make a decision finally, and amen to that. But can I tell you something? Child of God, in 2021, what does God have to do to get you to make a decision? What does God have to get to do to you to make you decide something for God in this day and time? Is he going to have to go through all of this rigmarole to get you to decide something? Are you going to have to see fire from heaven? Are you going to be like Thomas? Say, not till I thrust my hand into his side. What? Really? And how silly did Thomas look just a couple days later? But yet we don't make a decision. We remain indecisive. We remain silent, if you will, until something catastrophic happens or something divine or supernatural takes place. And then, I'm with that God. I'm with him. But why not on a regular basis are we not decisive? First of all, we need to be decisive and decide about salvation. Is salvation the only way to heaven? Okay, amen. Yes. Oh, decision makers out here. I love it. Absolutely. Then why don't we act like it? If it's the only way someone can be saved, then why aren't we telling everybody? Why aren't we publishing it abroad? You say, we are. Yes, we are doing a good job, but we can do better. Because it is the only way. I used to tell people all the time, out soul winning, imagine if you picked up a newspaper. Now, I know I'm dating myself there, okay? Because not very many people pick up a newspaper anymore. But let's say you did have a newspaper and you picked it up and you went to the classifieds, right? And then you're reading through there and there's this nice little block here and it has an advertisement that says, free Ferraris. Call whatever number. Now, first glance, you're going to be like, whoa, right? And then you'll be like, I wonder about this. This has scam written all over it. Okay? But out of curiosity, you're like, okay, what do I really have to lose? Okay? So in the old days, you could have gone to a payphone, right? And not had any attachment to that phone number. But you look it up. You call and they say, yep, sure, we have free Ferraris right here. Here's the address to the warehouse. Come on down. Now you're like, kind of yeah, kind of no. I mean, I've got my license and carrying protective equipment. And I think I'll be all right. Maybe I'll take a buddy with me. And you go down, you go ahead, you drive slowly, carefully, you look around. It looks like a nice warehouse. It doesn't look like any shady characters around. You get in there, and sure enough, there's a whole warehouse full of Ferraris. You're like, who did they steal these from? Right? We're still skeptical, aren't we? Because we're skeptics. But you go through, and they say, okay, hey, how you doing? Oh, you saw it in the paper. Great. I'll tell you what, pick one out. That one. All right, here, come on. Wow, that's a real title. Those are real keys. This is amazing. They give you the title. They give you the keys. You don't even thinking about your car out there in the parking lot. You jump in and say, hey, have a nice day. Tell your friends. Drive out of there in a brand new Ferrari. Now, please tell me, folks. You're not going to tell anybody else? For real? You wouldn't tell me? You wouldn't tell your mom or dad or your brothers or sisters or aunts or uncles or every single person you know? Man, I would send out the biggest group text I could ever find. It'd take me a while because I can only do 10 at a time. You all laugh. That's true. But I would get the word out. You know why? Because I became a believer in what was happening. Isn't salvation in Christ so much more than that? And yet we keep it to ourselves. We bottle it up inside. We're indecisive about telling people about Christ. Just a couple of examples about deciding about salvation. In Luke chapter 18, we understand the rich young ruler. He said, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now in this particular case, this man decided against salvation to his detriment. Another example. This is a very famous one. For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now this man remained indecisive, undecided, and as far as we know, never did decide. But here's one that did. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You see, there are people out there who are going to decide not to trust Christ. And there are people out there who are going to decide not to trust him right now. And then there are going to be people that are going to decide to trust him immediately. Just like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Well, hey, let me tell you. And he believed. And he was baptized. You know, you understand that deciding about salvation is critical. All of you in here, as far as I know, have done this. But are we being a witness as we should for Christ? Are we speaking the word of God with boldness? Are we not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's a whosoever will salvation, but if we don't tell them, they're not going to know about it. And we've got to decide about salvation. We also have to decide about service. I don't have the time tonight to read to you, but Joshua in chapter 24, he told them very, very similar to what Elijah said. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You make a choice. Be decisive about it. And if we read the rest of that chapter, all the way through verse 28, we'll see that they said, we're going to choose the Lord. They even took the time to record it in a book. And I think it was on Sunday, I was talking about memorials. They put up a big rock under an oak tree to make a remembrance of it so that they would never forget what they had done. You remember back to a time when you surrendered to the will of God in your life. It was recorded somewhere. God says, just serve me. Serve me with all your might or don't. He says, you know what? I'd rather you be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be in the middle. Don't straddle the fence. Don't try to be in the world and in the service of the king. Don't go back and forth. You cannot serve two masters. Can't do it. We've got to make a decision, folks. We've got to learn as Christians to be decisive. Either I'm going to serve God or I'm not going to serve God. Just decide. Just decide. God would rather you decide not to serve him than to just kind of, well, maybe I'll serve him today, maybe I won't serve him tomorrow, and back and forth, and bounce around like a little pinball here. No, just Either be hot or cold, don't be lukewarm. Now, tongue in cheek. We want you to be hot, not cold. We want you to serve God, not serve the world. We want you to be walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. But decide. Decide. Now, I'm terrible. You put a menu in my hand. I don't know which master I want to serve. Chicken, steak, seafood. I like the plate that has all of them on it. You know, because then I don't have to decide. I just pick them all. But you understand, we got to make a decision. When I'm at a restaurant, I'm usually the last one to decide. Because I like everything. And I probably could eat it all too, and that's fine. But I just need to pick one, right? My wife, she's pretty easy about deciding those things. But sometimes it takes some of us a little bit longer. But can I encourage you tonight? We need to learn to be decisive. We just need to learn. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah was fed up with it. I think Joshua was a little bit fed up with it. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you're going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, go ahead. But if you're going to serve the Lord, decide to do it, and follow through. And I think God wants us as believers in this 2021 to be decisive about who we're going to serve. Who are we going to serve? Remember Daniel chapter 3? Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, then at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down to worship the image which I have made? Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a fiery, burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Huh. That's in the Greek. Or the Hebrew. It's Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve. No question about it. No hesitation. No. Oh, well, king, if you would, please. No. We're not careful to answer you. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, either by life or death, will be delivered from your hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. Hey, folks, that's decisive. That's decisive. They knew who they were going to serve. There was no question in their mind. And it didn't matter what happened to them. We need some Christians like that today. Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There was no mistake that these people decided to serve the Lord God. And there should be no mistake in anybody's eyes, in anybody's minds, in anybody's viewpoint or perspective that you have decided to serve the Lord your God. We need to decide some things. And then lastly, just thinking about being decisive, turn over to Luke chapter 24. I've read quite a bit of the scriptures tonight to you, but I need to let you flip a little bit, because otherwise you'll get out of practice and you'll slow me down during the next sermon. And over in Luke 24, look at verse 25 through 35. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Can I tell you, not only do you need to decide about salvation and about service, but you need to decide what you believe about the scriptures. About the scriptures. How much is the word of God a part of your life? Jesus took time after he had risen, and he walked with these men on the way to Emmaus, and He began at Moses and all the prophets. Long sermon. And expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the things concerning, the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Amazing. And after their eyes were open, they said, And they burned within us, our hearts. And we should have known better that it was Jesus. But now we see. You see, folks, we have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. On Sunday nights, I've been talking to you about the wonderful Word of God. Does it burn within you? Like Jeremiah said, after he had quit the ministry, and he said, I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I'm not going to do these things. Forget these people. I'm not doing it. He said, and it burned within me as a consuming fire, and I could not forbear. We got to decide what we believe about these scriptures, this book, the Word of God. Those people in Thessalonica, they received the Word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Amazing things happened there. It said that in verse 12, it says, Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. We know that Apollos, during his ministry, this is interesting. In chapter 18 of the book of Acts, verses 24 through 28, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Well, that's good, right? But look at this, what happens? And when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They helped him out. Why? Because they knew what they believed about the Bible. They had decided. Oh, by the way, they were students of a man named Paul. Yeah, tent makers, co-laborers in the scriptures and in tent making. It says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Hey, this book can change lives, folks. And we got to know what we believe about it, and that it's our word of the word of God for us. It's ours. You understand that there are people that say they believe the word of God, and then people that live like they believe the word of God. That's being decisive. That's being decisive. Oh yeah, I'm a King James only guy. We'll live it then. Just decide that that's who you are, that these biblical principles rule and run your life, or they don't. This thing of being decisive is very difficult. It puts us in an awkward position at times, doesn't it? Precarious situations at times. Oh, by the way, things that are worth something usually have to be purified by fire, put to the test. It'll happen. Don't be afraid of it. Just decide. Hey, guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went through the fire just fine. Hey, they didn't even get singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. No, not at all. Hey, just standing beside my smoker on Monday, I smelled like smoke. Now, I like that smell, but they were in the thing, walking around. The ropes were burnt off their hands, but yet their flesh, their hair, their clothing wasn't touched. Amazing. Nebuchadnezzar thought it was amazing. He did. And he made a decree that anybody that said anything bad about these guys, their homes would be turned into a dunghill. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But we got to decide what we believe about the scriptures. In 1 Peter it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 2 Peter says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, and no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Of these things, in 2 Timothy 2, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then finally, as Timothy was being told by Paul, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just an encouragement tonight. I know I'm looking at a bunch of good folks. A bunch of godly folks. I do. I know that. But can I tell you something? We all could be a little more decisive in our day-to-day life about what we believe about salvation. I know that you know that you're born again. But what about the others in your life that aren't? What about service? Do you have a trouble choosing whom you're going to serve? Are you halting between two opinions? Like the Hebrews? Is it going to take some supernatural thing from heaven to come down and burn stones and lick up water to get you to say, the Lord, He is the God? What about this book? You let it sit there from day to day. Pick it up on Wednesday. Pick it up on Sunday. Just decide. Just decide. The characteristic of being decisive.